shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
By early Tuesday morning, though, those plans were met with protests.
You are going to hell!
The career appointees said no investigations are warranted.
Texas is not comprised of people willing to allow Barack Obama.
When I look at like the police reports, or I hear about the police reports, I don't know what to think.
I hate Barack Obama.
I am a clown.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And that's how we kick things off here. That's how we roll each and every night. Truth is our bitch. And so there, that's all you need to know. Let me turn the fan off here, man, because it is hot.
Yeah, it stinks, too.
Well, it may be stinking because of my B.O., because I was crawling around underneath all of this equipment. And I wasn't looking for a quarter, either. I was looking to see how we could reevaluate and reconnect and reassume our position here in the Christian world with our video cast, which is back on the air, or on the web, or on the Ethernet. Our video cast at www.philhendryshow.com. Back, and very happy to have the our live streaming...
Yes, it's called...
videocast. Anyway, if you are tuning into our video this evening, as well as our audio, but if you're tuning in the video, you can't see it on the audio, you can see it on the video, there's a big happy birthday banner that is stationed behind me. And what does that mean? It means it's my birthday today. 57 years old. Now, let me just clear up something. 57 sucks. Can I just, you know, I mean, I'm not unhappy with my life. I'm not unhappy with the life I've lived and the life that I hope to live. But 57 blows every which way, man. It blows herds, herds and herds of every kind of endangered species. It ain't no good. Don't ever let anybody tell you that 57's good. It sucks, Jack. Who wants to be 57?
Yeah, man, but better than like 60.
Now, don't give me that it's better than 60. Okay, so it's better, whatever, man. I just as soon be 60, to be honest with you. But that's going to suck. See, being old is not good. Being old is a drag. Being old means that you have to look at stuff that maybe you didn't get everything that you wanted to get. Maybe you didn't achieve everything you wanted to achieve. Maybe you're still working on it, you know? Maybe you're 57 and you still think you're 26, which means, can you imagine, for instance, being as confused as you were when you were 26, when you're 57? Well, that's me, pretty much, you know. Can you imagine thinking the way you thought when you were 26, which is, oh, I got this to do and that to do, and I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do, you know, all this stuff. And then you see, well, wait a minute, I'm 57, man, so I don't have all that time now to just sit and do all that stuff. So if you're locked, like, into a mindset of being 26 and you're 57, oh, Jack, it's a world of hurt, man. Now, am I an unhappy guy? No. I'm not unhappy, but I'm just telling you, 57 is not a good age, man. And don't give me this stuff about 50's the new 40. 40's the new 30. Who thought that one up, man? What manufacturer of facial cream? What guy that came up with, you know, a new way to suck fat out of your ass and put it in your lips? Who came up with that 40's the new 30? And that 50's the new 40? 57, any which way you look at it, ain't a good age, man. And all these people that'll tell you, you know, you're as young as you think. Well, yeah, you are as young as you think, but that's still, I mean, you're still 57. I think I'm 26. I mean, mentally, I think I'm probably 26, 27 years old, right? But I'm still 57. So I just want, I'm not going to, you know, belabor the point, but I don't want anybody out there believing that getting older is somehow a groovy thing that you just sort of work your way into, you know, like maybe squeezing into a pair of jeans. No, it isn't. And even people that are 57 that are listening to me right now, or 58 or 54 or 50, who are saying, well, that's just being negative. You know, you can really get a great attitude about, they know what I'm saying is true. They know they're just whistling in a graveyard. And again, I'm not an unhappy guy. I'm a very happy guy. I like the life that I have, and I live the life that I love, and I love the life I live, and like that, you know. But 57 is 55 stinking seven, man. And it is it's a bummer. You get out of bed and your back hurts and your ass hurts and your head hurts and your legs hurt and your foot hurts. What?
What's your ass hurt for?
I'm going to start swinging on you, man. Of course, I could be 19 like you, bud, and have already put my head through an oak tree, and I got a metal plate in it. So I guess there are some blessings.
Yeah. Well, are you trying to say you're better even if I got a even if the head has a plate?
Did you hear that?
What are you talking about, man?
Am I better even though the head has a plate? That's pretty good, huh?
Hey, are you? Is that what you're saying?
I ain't saying I'm better than anybody. I'm not saying I'm worse than anybody. I'm just saying that I'm 50 stinking seven. And you know, if you're a happy guy, good for you. You got a metal plate in your head, so what do you want? Anyway, welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I didn't mean to take all that much time talking about age, but you can be happy and you can enjoy yourself and you can have a great life and you can achieve all kinds of things. But remember that death waits for no man. All right. Here's today's, that's our uplifting thought of the night. Or as the Buddhists tell us, there are four stages. Ah, never mind. 877-876-PHIL. Aristotle would say, anyway, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. What is that? That's a phone number. What does it get to? Our show. What can happen after you call that number? You may get on the air. You may be able to talk with me and express your opinion and express yourself, you know, about the things that are going on in the world. And there are some real screwballs out there today. Each and every day is it's almost like you're taking a stroll through the primrose garden of screwiness each and every day, right? Who's nuttier, man? Keith Obersturmfuhrer or the cats that want to secede from Texas? I don't know. On any given day, it might be the Obersturmfuhrer. But there are these people in Texas that think they want to secede from the Union. Why? Because they watched Ken Burns' documentary one too many times. That's why. For any of you that may be listening, I got a couple of things to tell you. Number one, stop using narcotics. It's illegal. It can decay the kidneys, the liver. Your brain cells begin to rot. Some of you may be schizophrenic. Some of you may be psychotic. And that also rots brain cells. Number two, quit masturbating as often as you do. Number three, you know, see what I'm saying? I don't think you are anywhere near rooted in a world that the rest of us live in. You're going to secede from the Union. You know what this is? This is just another way of you handling your anxiety. That's what people do. They handle their anxiety over a world that is changing much too quickly. We got a black president. We want to have a health care plan. Brazil is kicking ass with their economy. That alone is enough to send some people scurrying for their blankie. The Chinese are all of a sudden the world's they're a world beater even though they're commies. The Russians they want to get into the game. The Europeans can't find their ass with both hands. Canada is sitting up there sucking their thumb, and here we are worried about all of it. And how do we deal with our anxiety? You can't do drugs; that's against the law. And just say no and all that jazz. Sex still quite a risk. You know there is that the HIV virus and Sex has gotten to the point now it's so overexposed, each and every single possible position, sex with animals, sex with other people of your sex with other people of their sex with Martians. We've had UFO books about people having sex with aliens. So sex is, we're reaching the boundaries, the limits of sex, okay? The rock and roll ain't no good anymore. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. So what does that leave? Well, you got to find some other way to deal with your anxiety and your angst and your fear. So what do? You jump up and down with a Texas flag and you talk about seceding from the Union. You ain't going to secede from the Union, man. The only thing that's going to secede is your brain from the inside of your skull. The only thing that's seceding is any shred of common sense you had when you woke up this morning. My intelligence just seceded from the rest of me. All right. Yes. Bust it out, huh? You got it. Rick Perry's talk of secession appears to have buoyed efforts by Texas. Now, Rick Perry, it is said, and I would not quibble with this, it's probably true. It is said that Rick Perry talked of secession because he wanted to get people excited about his candidacy for another run for governor of the grand state of Tejas, right? Now, he did have some bumper stickers out there, and they were, I don't think they really worked very well. They were stuck on cars. They said,
I am a clown.
And I don't think that worked. So what he decided to do is talk about secession. Well, guess what, Rick? Some people are taking you serious. How about that, huh? So you're going to have to get out there and tell everybody you're kidding, all right? He wants to get the emotional pitch peaking just at the right moment so that when they run to the polls, they're going to be voting for a governor who is, maybe on a good day, we just might secede from the Union. People, oh, well, now that's the answer. See, the answer when there's so much pressure and there's so much change and so many challenges, what's the answer? Let's destroy the country. All right, that's great. Oh, to hell with it, man. We got a black guy in the white hat, and the guy went, just get out of the union, man. Now, you know what they say about perception being reality? We got a black president, and we got a southern state that wants to cut out. That's it, man. They're throwing it in now. And don't tell me there isn't anything racial about it. Don't tell me that there isn't anything racial about it, because I'm here to tell you, yes, there is. You know, I thought for a while maybe we'd move past it a little bit, but now I see all these panicked white folks who just can't take it. You know, I was willing to give the guy a chance, but now he's going commie on me. And his wife's wearing shorts in the Grand Canyon, and she's got too many people on her staff. And these are all things we would criticize a first lady for if she's black, but the rest of them, for all I know, man, Rosalind Carter and Lady Bird Johnson and all those other good Southern belles, they probably had a staff of a million. How many people were on Rosalind Carter's staff? Anybody want to know? How many people were on Lady Bird Stinkin' Johnson's staff? How many people were on Pat Nixon's staff or Nancy Reagan's staff or whoever else, Barbara Bush? But all of a sudden, the First Lady's got too many people on her staff. Isn't that just a terrible crime? And meanwhile, we're getting our asses beat with these taxes. And these taxes, which, by the way, these taxes that everybody says that they're paying through the nose. Well, right now, we've got proposals and we've got bills that have been passed to propose spending a certain amount of money. Not all of the money has been spent. Not all of the money has been needed yet. Not all of the money is necessarily, even though it's been earmarked, it hasn't necessarily, nobody's cashing any checks for all of it. And so when we talk about $800 billion or we talk about $400 billion, that's the amount that's been earmarked for whatever the project, be it a stimulus or anything else. It doesn't necessarily mean all the bread has been pulled from the mint and dump trucks and just poured into the hands of all of these poor, homeless, and otherwise undeserving people. In any event, here are the secessionists. Two protesters pushed for secession at a rally in Texas over this past weekend. Let's listen to whatever this is.
U.S. flag is coming down from over Texas. It will not be part of Texas.
Wait, is that a man or a woman? That's the first question I got for you there, Hermie, for Hermaphrodite. Are you a man or are you a woman? That's number one. Number two, when are you going to get the DVD copy of the Civil War by Ken Burns so you've worn out the VHS tape? Number three, get a job.
U.S. flag is coming down from over Texas. It will not be part of Texas anymore.
All right.
We want freedom. Our boys fought for it. Some folks say, well, is secession legal? Well, you go ask George Washington what he thought about legal secession. He could care less. He did it anyway. You go ask Sam Houston what he thought about secession. He did it anyway. Even though it may have been illegal, he did it anyway. I have no clue about the legality of it. All I do know is that's what we as Texans need. Secession is the answer.
We are aware that stepping off into secession may in fact be a bloody war.
Oh, well.
We are aware.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We understand
that
the tree of freedom is occasionally watered with the blood of tyrants and patriots.
Yeah, we got that quote, man, coming out of our ears. If that quote, if they've quoted that once, they've quoted it a million times. And it had to do with the French Revolution, had nothing to do with the United States of America. But tell anybody in a secession rally, and what you've got in a secession rally is you have a scientific experiment in how many people does it take. How many secessionists do you have to put together in under one tent to form one brain? Am I calling them dumb? No, I'm not calling them dumb. I'm calling them radicalized out of fear. What I'm saying about you secession people is you're crapping your pants. That's how scared you are. You're so scared. You're so scared of the future. So frightened of dialogue. So frightened of turning over new ideas. So scared to death of the 21st century. You want to retreat to 1860, you imbeciles. You are scared little people. You're not bold. You're not going to fight any war. You're not going to go out and do battle with the U.S. government. You're not going to do any of that. You're going to see what probably when push comes to shove, man. I say you're crapping your pants now, man. I don't think we've even seen the first of it. They roll some tanks onto your front lawn, man, and you'll be able to fertilize that lawn yourself. Now, here is two other protesters who speak out in favor of secession.
Texas is not comprised of people willing to allow Barack Obama and his SARS to tax us into bankruptcy while Michelle Obama and her 26 aides live it up on our dime.
No, Perry is not here, and Creighton and the rest of the legislature is not here. I want them to hear this loud and clear, that it is time for them to take up that banner. And it is time for them to take the lead. And if they do not,
Now he's going to do his best Thomas Paine here. He's doing his Patrick Henry here. Here it is.
Then we will.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Butch. All right, 877-876-PHIL. These are frightened little people, and, you know, they're hysteric. What do they used to do in the movies? Did they slap somebody across the face to slap them out of their hysteria? That's what they need. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Michelle Bachmann. Now, she's a whole other can of something, man. She's from Minnesota. She's talking about slitting their wrists and being blood brothers to beat health care reform. Really scared people. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
A whole bunch of people down in Texas are calling themselves secessionists. If they saw their own shadow, man, and the moon was out just right, they would run and they would hide. I mean, they would crap themselves and run for cover. That's how big and bold and courageous those people are. Secession. I don't think a one of them can spell it. That's for starters. And why am I talking in this tone of voice? It's like an older brother looking at a kid that's crying and jumping up and down and cutting themselves and behaving in like a spoiled little brat. That's Texas, a bunch of spoiled little punk kids. Well, we got ours. Yeah, you got yours. Good for you. What will you say when the day finally arrives, and it's coming sooner than you think, when we don't use that oil anymore that you pump out of the ground down there, when we decide we're going to be doing something else? Are you going to start this squeal for some federal dollars to try to bail out some industries that are no longer operative? Will we hear from you at all? Are you going to be just self-reliant and you won't need us and we don't need you? In point of fact, the better question isn't whether Texas is going to secede. The better question to be asked is, why do we need Texas? Why do we need Texas, man? We got California and Hawaii. We got New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco. What do we need Texas for? Now, if you want to behave like children, and you got a governor, see, it wouldn't be so bad were it just a handful of imbeciles that gather at the local coffee shop, whatever the hell they call it down there, the Lone Star Cafe or whatever you want to call it, that'd be fine. But you got a governor down there. This guy's got, he takes his brain out and plays with it at least twice a day. Now, I understand he's crazy like a fox. He's probably got his political sense finely tuned to the fact that he's got just enough numbskulls in that state who will vote for him if he talks about secession. You heard of one guy, he didn't care whether it's legal or not. He doesn't even know whether it's legal or not. It doesn't matter to him whether it's legal or not. Well, that's a great way to go about things. So in other words, the law itself is something that we no longer have any respect for. Well, what law should we have respect for? The law that you finally decide on there, Clem? 877-876-PHIL. This is Lori in Houston. Lori, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Look, you know, our governor is a moron. And you know something? Texas isn't even Texas anymore. It's like part of Mexico. And believe it or not, there's enough people down here that don't want to succeed from the union. But then again, you've got both Bushes in his back pocket. So you got both Bushes living.
What do you mean succeed from the union? What did you say?
You're saying that Texas wants to succeed from the union. We don't.
No, I didn't say Texas wanted to succeed. I said they want to secede.
Well, what I'm saying is that we've got enough guns down here that, I mean, and Rick Perry is a moron. And if we don't get enough people together to get that moron out of office, we're all going to be up a creek.
And you're saying that Texas is like part of Mexico. Is that it?
Well, we might as well be. We got more Mexicans in Texas than California.
Well, did you know that? I don't know whether you know this or not, but there were a lot of Mexicans down there before Texas became a state.
Oh, exactly.
In fact, I don't know whether you were aware of this, but it used to be a part of Mexico.
Yeah, I understand that perfectly. I mean, we took it away.
Well, then there's a clue as to why there's so many Mexicans there.
Well, the Mexicans don't want to. You know, everybody has guns down here. We want
to
be.
What's guns got to do with it? We're talking about guns now? All right. Well, thank you very much for your call. So she's sort of, she doesn't like Mexicans. She don't like Perry. And she wants to succeed. I think you should succeed. Don't secede, succeed. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Phil here. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch on this show, and what that means is essentially this. I don't care what political persuasion somebody is. Unfortunately, if you do consider yourself to be of a political persuasion, if you consider yourself to be a particular kind of thinker when it comes to politics, I feel sorry for you. Because we don't need any of that right now. That's the last thing we need. The last thing we need are conservatives and liberals. You talk about dry rot. You talk about people that are killing this country as we sit here, as we speak. Mental masturbation, one of the world's largest daisy chains. You can call it anything you want. That's what it is. That's a bunch of people sitting around feeling good about themselves because they are conservatives and liberals. Now, here's somebody who has never had a problem identifying herself as a Republican, a conservative. She's from Minnesota. And I guess they think she has a future in the party because some people seem to think she's nice to look at. I don't know whether these people need glasses or just a whole new set of eyeballs. Michelle Bachmann, who doesn't open her mouth without something unbelievably, almost exquisitely dumb coming out of it. From guys giving their lives who actually made it back to the United States to some misread of the Constitution about how it's unconstitutional for the Congress to pass a law having to do with interstate commerce, to wit, health care, to the latest, in a fiery speech that her conservative Colorado audience was cheering for, U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann railed against the dangers of health care reform and other Democratic initiatives, warning the proposals, quote, have the strength to destroy this country forever, end of quote. If this isn't Father Coughlin, if this broad isn't the German-American Bund revisited, I don't know who is. This cannot pass, she said, doing her best, Patrick Henry. The Minnesota Republican was talking to a crowd of like-minded clowns at a Denver gathering sponsored by the Independence Institute. Well, they're about independence. Oh. We thought we'd put together an institute about independence? Yes, and we're going to call it the Independence Institute. And what is that? Well, that basically means we're conservatives, but we don't want to be Republicans anymore. Ah. What we have to do today is make a covenant to slit our wrists, be blood brothers on this thing. This will not pass. We will do whatever it takes to make sure this doesn't pass. Something is way crazy out there, Bachmann said in her remarks, billed as a, quote, personal legislative briefing by the Golden-based Independent Institute, which bills itself as a free market think tank. A free market think tank. I bet you those guys couldn't think up a cup of coffee between however many of them they got. They couldn't think up at one good Starbucks drip grind. This is slavery, Bachmann said, after claiming many Americans pay half their income to taxes. It's nothing more than slavery. In a speech filled with urgent and violent rhetoric, Bachmann, who proudly acknowledges she is the country's second most hated Republican woman behind, if I get one more message on this thing, I'm going to throw it across the room. In a speech filled with urgent and violent rhetoric, Bachmann, who proudly acknowledged that she is the country's second most hated Republican woman behind only former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, drew a clear line on health care reform. "You're either for us or against us on this issue," she said, after deriding U.S. Representative Betsy Markey, a Fort Collins Democrat, for, quote, "sitting on the fence" about health care proposals at recent town halls. Bachmann earlier this month joined former U.S. Representative Marilyn Musgrave, the Republican ousted from office last year by Markey, in a telephone town hall where she told abortion opponents the health care battle will be won on our knees in prayer and fasting. Michelle Bachmann cannot tell you in a one-on-one. Now, she's great when she's given a speech, and she's great when she stands there in front of a camera and she just lays the talking points on. But if Michelle Bachmann were sitting here right now and I was talking to her about health care reform, she'd be destroyed in about 30 seconds. She can't tell you what's unconstitutional about it, because it isn't. She can't really tell you what it is. I don't think she even understands what it is. She can't tell you, in point of fact, what her alternative would be. What is your alternative, Ms. Bachmann? What is your alternative to the 14 to 15 to 16, approaching 20% of the GDP we spend on health care in this country? How do you want to solve that problem? Give it to me again. She only knows that health care reform is a national plan, and that's socialism / communism. She really doesn't know what it is. She's Michelle Bachmann. She's the second most hated Republican woman in the country behind Sarah Palin. That's kind of like saying that we're the second best ice cream company behind, Good Humor. We're almost as good as Good Humor. Our trucks aren't quite as good, and the music isn't all that great, and some of the guys that drive the trucks are junkies. But right now we're looking at reaching down the throat and ripping the guts out of freedom, she said, and we may never be able to restore it if we don't man up and take this one on. Well, Bachmann, you're just the one to man up on it. In fact, Bachmann represents probably the single only man in the anti-healthcare reform debate. Bachmann urged those opposed to Democrats' plans for health care reform to keep applying pressure. Bachmann closed by urging the audience at the nonpartisan group's fundraiser to defeat Democrats at the ballot box. I want to explain something to you guys. We'll go to some phone calls. I just want to say one thing. Again, we learn from history, do we not? Again, we learn from history. And again, we look back to the Great Depression of the 1930s. And what did we have in the 1930s besides the Depression, besides the economic hardship and the terrible distress the country was in? What else did we have? We had a lot of people looking for answers. We had a lot of people casting about, how do we solve this problem? What do we do? We had people in 1933. These weren't screwballs. These were no less some of the heaviest hitters in the economic landscape in the world. These were the heads of national banks who said that capitalism was dead. In 1933, capitalism is dead. We're seeing the death throes of capitalism. That's what this is about, the death throes of capitalism. We had Father Coughlin, who had one of the most popular radio shows in America in the 1930s, deriding the Jews. The Jews! This is the problem! If you ever saw this guy, look up Father Coughlin on YouTube. He had a number one rated radio show in America in the 1930s. He was a priest. He was a dirty, dirty, filthy old anti-Semite that people actually listened to because everybody was afraid and they wanted answers. And what did Coughlin lay on them? The Jews! We had the German-American Bund. This was a Nazi organization, a Nazi sympathy organization, selling out arena after arena across the country. People were looking for answers. In other words, when the country is in a dire predicament, we have found through our own history that the extremely hysterical, non-linear thinking kinds of people, the people that are emotional with very little intellect behind it, they're the ones, in other words, those that scream the loudest, they're the guys that get all the play. And then as the decade of the 30s drew to an end, guess what happened? Father Coughlin wound up like last on the whatever the hell ratings they had. They finally bumped him out of that rotten show he had. And the German-American Bund revealed themselves for what they were, a fifth column in America supporting Adolf Hitler, a guy that we were about to go to war with. And the Communist Party of America, the Communist Party of America, that so many people, young people, gravitated to because it had only been 20 years since the Russian Revolution. It wasn't like the Cold War was on. It wasn't like Russia was the new Soviet Union was marching into country after country. It was a very unknown thing, and a lot of people thought, well, let's try that. Let's go to a Communist Party meeting. Let's see what that's about. God, you know, I mean, that haunted them for the rest of their lives, attending a lousy, stinking Communist Party meeting. Why? People were looking for answers. We know today that the Communist Party isn't an answer to anything, man. It's not an answer to, it's not an answer to a headache. It's not an answer to athlete's foot. It's not an answer to anything. But we didn't know. We were looking. We were casting about. Well, we should have learned from our experience. We should recognize hysterical, extremist thinkers, if you'll pardon the expression, when we see them. We should know, aha, this is a time in the country's history where the country is enduring an awful lot. There's an awful lot of fear. There are a great many unknowns. This is something that happens when America is in a little bit of distress. And I say a little bit, I mean a little bit of distress, okay? I'm not calling this apocalyptic. I am not willing to say we live under tyrants. I mean, that is simply that mocks anybody that actually lived under a tyrant. The people that say we live under tyranny, they would crap their pants if they actually looked into the face of real tyranny. Those jackasses in Texas, if they were really face down with tyranny, they wouldn't come out of their bedrooms, man. They wouldn't crawl out from underneath their beds. We throw these words around because it makes us feel strong and powerful and important, but we don't even know what it is we're talking about. We're hysterical. We're not thinking anymore. We are living, breathing, walking nerve endings. And at some point, it all has to calm down, which it will. And at some point, we take a look at the Michelle Bachmans of the world. We look at this jackball. Who was this guy to Stevenson from last night? We look at this stupid bastard, this Rick Perry. We look at all these people and we say, you know what? Thank you very much for your input. But you people, you know, somebody ought to throw a butterfly net over your ass. We got a couple of other ideas, okay? And how are they fighting the health care reform issue? How are they fighting it? With lies? With out-and-out lies. Not with facts, with out-and-out lies. You see, the Canadians hate their health care system. That is a bald-faced lie. In Canada, people with important and life-threatening surgery, you know, life-supporting surgery, people whose lives are at risk, they have to wait 6 months. A bald-faced lie that cannot be backed up with any fact. I'm saying it right now. Cannot be backed up with any fact. But because we're hysterical in this country, we don't recognize that some of these people are just trying to get elected, like Michelle Bachmann. Sooner or later, if that woman ever gets high enough in the elected hierarchy of this country, she'll probably tone it down and start talking about responsibility. But this is how you get elected, talking like an imbecile, maybe even being an imbecile. And Rick Perry wants to get reelected governor of Texas. And what's he going to do then? He's going to sit on his ass like he was the last 4 years, with his thumb parked in his ear, doing nothing, talking about what a great state it is, man. And we don't need you. Look at us. We're living large, man. We got this oil, and we're pulling it out of the ground. And he doesn't recognize, just as those jackasses in Detroit didn't recognize, that the country is trying to turn away from that because it costs too much. Do you understand that, Perry? Costs too much. There may be other states, by the way, where we're going to be getting our oil in the future. Maybe, maybe not. The fact is, if you're banking the future of Texas on oil, don't you think there's some other things you ought to be thinking about down there? All right, 877-876-PHIL. I promise we will get to some phone calls when we come back after this break. 877-876-PHIL. We already told you about Michelle Bachmann. Okay, great. So have we gone through our nut file yet?
No, there might be a couple more.
My bud tells me there may be a few more in the nut file. 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
By the way, I'm not going to belabor this, but Harry Reid, who's the Senate Majority Leader, said that Ted Kennedy croaking, that's helped the war, it's helped the health care debate. It's going to maybe get it, you know, I mean, these people, man. Yesterday, it was this woman, Lafsky, from the Huffington Post, saying that Mary Jo Kopechne, if she were alive or somehow she was talking to us from the great beyond, she'd say, well, you know, maybe it was worth it that I drowned in that car because Ted Kennedy went and he had such a fantastic career. Now, I know a lot of people have been listening to me over the last few minutes, and they think I'm some kind of a raging liberal. I just crapped all over Kennedy there. That's in the minds of some liberals. I just crapped all over Kennedy. All I was saying was that Mary Jo Kopechne, were she alive or talking to us from beyond, talking to us from the spirit world, I doubt if the first thing out of her mouth would be, you know what, it was worth it, man, drowning in that car. Wait a minute, you were knocking health care, now you're knocking Kennedy. I don't know, you're an independent, aren't you? I'd rather starve to death. I would rather die of HIV than be an independent. Does that pretty much clear that one up? Than to be called an independent, I'd rather get a major, major case of some plague, something they haven't even discovered yet. That's how far away from that whole scene, man, I want to be. From liberal, conservative, independent, all of those bastards. They've had their time. They've had their moment. They've clogged the system with their horse dung. They've done nothing but hold on to their ideologies like they're holding on to their last dollar, and they haven't done a thing in this present, the context of the days we're living in right now, particularly now. They haven't done a thing to help this country move forward. All they've done is jam the system up with their self-righteous, sanctimonious speeches about slitting their wrists and let the blood flow. Who are you kidding, Bachman? What, you just came from a covered dish party, and you just dropped the kids off at soccer, and I understand you're probably a fine mother, a great wife, and you're the salt of the earth, okay? Don't start talking like you're Che Stinkin' Guevara or something, all right? All right, let's go over to a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL, and we got Larry. He's in Mobile, Alabama. Larry, what's on your mind tonight?
I was going to get back to Texas for just a minute there.
Okay.
Texas is the only state in the union that can legally secede from the state from the union.
No, they cannot legally. No, they cannot.
No, they cannot.
The Constitution of the United States, as you probably know, or maybe you don't, had a number of amendments that were proposed following the Civil War, and that particular law that you're talking about, sir, was rendered moot when Texas seceded from the Union and joined in an open rebellion against the federal government. Texas removed itself from the legal protection of that law. Now let's take a look at something else. Doesn't matter if it's a treaty or not. Texas openly rebelling against the United States of America removed itself from any legal claim to the United States government. Open, violent rebellion against the federal government.
I have that right, just like you have the right to speak your area.
If you want, you have the right to not have your facts straight, sure. You've got the right to say stuff that isn't true. Go ahead. Have yourself a ball, man, but you're wrong. And this is not the first time I've heard that argument, sir.
You have the right to say your liberal crap, too, so, you know.
I'm not liberal. See, that's the whole thing. You call me a liberal, huh? And I want to go over and kill all kinds of Al-Qaeda, and I believe in gun rights. I'm a liberal. I believe in the Second Amendment. I think a guy should walk around with a loaded gun. I think it should be legal. So I'm a liberal, huh?
I'll go with that.
Oh, I'm a liberal? Then you're a liberal. You're a liberal, too. You're very liberal, man. You believe in the Constitution? Have you read the part of the Constitution where it says that no state shall enter into a confederation with another? No state shall sign a treaty independent of the United States. Have you read that part?
Yes, I have.
You have?
I have.
And you still think that you're right?
I believe so.
I don't understand that, Larry. I mean, if you look at the Constitution, there it is, right in front of you, black and white.
When was that law passed? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's called the Constitution and the Constitutional Convention, and that was in 1789. That's when that law was passed. 1789.
It came later.
It came later. It wasn't an amendment. It was part of the articles of the actual articles of the Constitution of the United States. It didn't come later. It wasn't a part of an amendment. It wasn't an amendment. It wasn't the bill, in the Bill of Rights. It was in the main body of the Constitution and remains there.
I think you may be right on that one.
Well, I mean, it's the Constitution that you love and that I love.
If that is the case, then you're right. Texas does not have legal right to secede.
They do not. No state does.
Even though the federal government said they could.
The federal government at the time, first of all, the federal government was talking to Texas. At the time, it was a republic, right? And this was part of the negotiation. Now, following the Civil War and following the open rebellion of Texas against the federal government of the United States, and in an open court challenge that was filed by Texas, that right was rescinded. It was deemed, to be honest with you, Larry, it was deemed unconstitutional to begin with. The court said that the government had no right to grant that so-called permission to Texas because the Constitution forbade it. I mean, we pass all kinds of laws in this country, you know, that it turns out, well, now, wait a second, you can't do that law because it's against the Constitution. That's the ultimate charter that we look to. And Texas, in that instance, was told in no uncertain terms, sorry, we got that one wrong. And besides, you guys took up arms against the government of the United States. What makes you think you hold us to any kind of agreement that we signed with you? Anyway, Larry, thanks very much. You're a good man for the call there. 877-876-PHIL. As you know, I can't be wrong about anything. I'm the host of the show. Now,
you can be wrong if you're a host. That guy had a good point.
He didn't. He's a nice guy. What do you mean a good point? I just told you, okay? And yes, I can be wrong, but I have to say that I'm right because I'm the host of the show. All right, we'll be right back here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll get more into Harry Reid, Kennedy, you know, the whole healthcare thing, man, and... Obama may be going away from the national option.
Phil Hendry.
How about that?